And this is the Board of Lister hearings for 50 Brighton Lane. What we'll do is we'll go around the table and introduce ourselves for the record, and then you'll have 15 minutes to let us know what you think the value of the property should be and why. The board may have some questions or comments or concerns or discussion at the end of your presentation, and then the board will recess to deliberate and come up with a decision on where they think the value should be. They can do three things. They can raise the value, leave it the same, or lower it. At that time, the town of Colchester will send you by certified mail a result of grievance notice. Okay, and that the notice has to be mailed to you within 14 days of the close of the hearings. We're looking to close the hearings on July 8th. So it'll be 14 days after that you'll get a letter, or before the 14 days after that. And
Okay.
we're looking to send out the letters within a week or 2 weeks from the actual hearing, so you should get it
Okay.
short before that. All right, so let's go around the table and introduce.
I'm Charlotte Gardner.
Charlotte, pleased to meet you.
Robert Vickery.
Jerry Barrows.
Jerry Barrows. Jerry Bork.
All right, you have the floor, Jerry.
I have a list of recent sales. I don't know who bought them. And because my home is only 66 feet long, these homes were, they stopped manufacturing them 20 years ago. So it's a much less desirable home. Everybody wants 70 and larger. So the most comparable that I could find was a 68. And the average of the four sales within Westbury, and I had two, three others in various other parks, were 61.5. I think with a high of what, 85? Oops, yeah. Yeah,
What's
that's a new one.
oh, 85, right there.
Yeah, but that's only, that's 2002. I'm going
Okay.
back to my age.
Oh, your age, got it.
Not with my home's age.
Yeah.
I'm not going back that far.
Okay, so these are the ages of the homes.
Yeah, the four that are marked are in Westbury. The others are located differently. So the low was 43K, the high was 75K, and the average was 61. So.
May we keep this?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Do you want it?
Yes.
Well, I do appreciate your email from last night. It's still very unrealistic. I mean, I would be tickled to death to get 65 for it. I mean, after all, it's 44 years old.
Have you done anything to improve it?
New windows.
Good.
I'm about to spend about $8,500 on undercarriage insulation and another 10 inches in the ceiling.
Smart use of money.
And I just basically keep it in good condition. I've tried to.
It looks it.
Well, I like a clean home and I like to live in a nice home. And it's perfect for an old bachelor, so, you know.
So did Bob's letter explain this land value?
No, and I don't agree with it.
So.
Because in my opinion, that's double taxation. If you folks were to go down the street and appraise a three-bedroom Cape, would you send them two separate bills? Of
No,
course
but
not.
it's all rolled. It would be the land value is rolled into their total assessment so that we have to assess their land and their house separately.
Yes, do you do that with ordinary residences?
Well, we add land value to the residents, yes.
It just seems that after, I don't know how many years that park has been there, but, you know, we pay $140,000 a year in taxes. On top of that, we get real estate taxes on the homes. So now things have switched around, and granted, it's been, what, 11, 12 years, you said, since the last appraisal? So things have to be updated, but
15, yeah.
this program that's kicking this stuff out is, it's just not unrealistic. The numbers
yeah.
are so inflated.
Just to go back to the land, the park has always paid a tax bill. When the Atkins owned it, the Atkins paid the tax of $130,000, $140,000 a year. What the state legislature said and has written into law now is that if a park is owned by a limited liability co-op, which your park is, that park, the value of the park has to be distributed to the individual units in the park.
That's the law.
That's
the
law.
The value of the law, of the land, and the value of the land that Atkins used to pay tax for has to be equally distributed to all the people.
And so the park won't get a tax bill. The individual units will get the tax bill for the park instead.
Well,
so it doesn't get a double taxation. That's
the issue I've had right now.
Yeah, and so it's the reason why the legislature did that was because the park pays a non-residential tax rate, which is a higher tax rate, and then they turn around and increase your lot rents to cover that tax, right? It's part of your lot rent. So by removing the tax from the park and putting it onto the mobile homes in the park, now you can apply for a residential rate on the mobile home, which gives that park value a residential rate. So what you actually pay is less.
For a lot rent.
So your lot rent goes down.
Should pay less.
Yeah, so your lot rent should go down equal to what the park would pay.
I couldn't make it over that.
And then what you actually pay would be the residential portion of it. So if you think about the park pays $150,000 a year in taxes,
mm-hmm,
for the non-residential rate. The gap between residential and non-residential is around 15 cents. Okay?
On the rate.
Gotcha.
So that's $22,000 that their tax won't be taxed anymore because it's going to be a residential rate. So between the park, well, the homeowners, the entire place will save $22,000 automatically by doing it this way.
Should.
Okay. The other piece of it is now that land value is being distributed to all the mobile homeowners, you now could qualify for income sensitivity for your taxes as well. So they'll estimate what your taxes are, what your income is, and then they adjust the education tax rate.
You're talking about the homestead declaration?
The homestead declaration, but there's also income sensitivity, so household income prebate. So now a lot of people in the mobile home park would qualify for that, whereas prior they may not have qualified for it because the assessments were lower, because now the assessments are higher because now you're getting the land value onto your mobile home, people will qualify for income sensitivity. And so that's even going to further lower that overall tax for the park itself. Mm-hmm. And so that's why the state legislature did it, because otherwise you'd be paying that extra $22,000 a year amongst everybody.
So this is basically statewide for all the mobile home parks?
Only for the mobile home parks that are owned in cooperatives.
Okay.
The limited equity cooperatives, if they're owned in that way, the mobile home parks are supposed to be assessed this way. So the park gets zero tax bill. That tax bill that the park would have gotten now gets distributed amongst everybody else. So instead of the park having to pay for somebody who will have to do the calculation of how much each person gets paid, or each person pays their percentage of taxes, instead of having to adjust the rates, all those things, and pass through that taxes to you, you just get taxed directly by the town. So it sidesteps the work of the co-op, which ultimately supposedly saves money for the co-op, and which ultimately saves you money. And that's the idea of it, but
it's going to be very difficult, I can tell you right now, for you to convince the rest of the people, along with their legal team, that that's the case.
Well, they understand how his hands are tied by the legislation.
Well, I don't think they do.
The ones that have come in here, we've told everybody, and And so what you apply for is the HS 122,
mm-hmm.
Which, and for your property tax credit, you show them your tax return from last year. And if your household income is less than $123,000 this year, then the two together are on a scale so that Montpelier will send some of your tax liability straight to the tax department here, and it will reduce what you owe for your portion.
So that has to be filed again?
Has to be filed now. HS 122.
Okay.
Yes.
And you're, yep. And, you know, your state representative knows the laws, and they know why. So they should be explaining this the proper way.
And if they're not, you come back to us.
Or you can tell them the way it's supposed to be.
But you now know that's the law. And
yeah.
And the law is there to save you money.
Well.
But if it's not working, your representative needs to know that it's not working, and everybody's up in arms about it. You're not alone.
Yeah.
Not alone. So when you put your property on the market, you actually don't have to ask $180,000 or $160,000. You ask just what the value of, because this is a taxable amount, what the value of the home itself is.
Well, that's still high.
Right. We heard that. But that's what I'm saying.
No, I got you.
To give you an understanding.
Thank you for that, yeah.
Because you all voted to be in a co-op, there's some changes that had to be made.
We didn't all do it.
God bless you.
No, we didn't.
So I don't know if it works.